All right. This week we're in Romans. Shocked you, I know. Romans, we're in chapter 5, so we're going at a breakneck speed here through Romans. We're in chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 12 to 21 today. So if you open your Bibles with me, we'll look at that. Last week, we saw the blessings that come from justification. And this week, we're going to look a little bit more at justification itself. And Paul has some thoughts on that that we're going to look at this morning. Okay, so let's all go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you give your word to us, that we can read it. We thank you that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the things that you have written. And we pray that as we open your word this morning, you will fill our hearts with what you have to say. We pray that we will store them, that we'll hang on to them, that we'll think about them, meditate on them this week, that you'll be able to help us to understand and to grow in our walk with you as we're in your word each and every day. We ask these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bibles open, let's look at chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. Listen to what it says. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sin. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. I love the way Paul writes, don't you? He kind of goes, then he goes off here, and then he comes back, and you're kind of going, where are you going, Paul? But here he starts out by saying that sin came into the world through one man, Adam. And this is an important point because we don't always think of the fact that Adam was the one man through whom sin entered the world. Doesn't say he's the only man who ever sinned, because in reality, we know that the word tells us that we have all sinned, right? But he says he's the one through which sin entered the world. He was the first. And it's an important thing for us to take. Adam, remember, was sinless when he was in the garden at first, right? The beginning, Adam was sinless. He was pure. He was without guilt when he was in the garden. And then he disobeyed God's direct command. Adam listened to the evil one who convinced him that God was holding out on him. Remember, go back to chapter 3 and here we see the fall of man. And it says that the serpent said, Eve said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now listen to what he says. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, Satan lies to Adam. But the thing is, Adam listened to the lie. And he was convinced that God was somehow holding out on him, keeping him away from something that was great that he should have. And so Adam wanted to be like God. Because isn't that what the devil said? He said, if you eat the fruit, you'll be like God. So why did Adam eat the fruit? Because it tastes good? No, because he wanted to be like God. And so he disobeyed the direct command of God. This wasn't misunderstanding. This wasn't Adam going, "Oh, I didn't quite understand what you said, God." God said, "Don't eat of the fruit." And he ate of the fruit. There's no misunderstanding here. It's direct disobedience. And so, sin is here in the garden. And Paul says this sin is what brings death upon him. And so, he says, you, God says to Adam, you're now going to die. That's the punishment for the sin, right? The wages of sin are death. It comes from sin. And we look at this, we say, so Adam brings death into the world because Adam brings sin into the world. And the death that came to all mankind because all have sinned. So you can look at it and say, well, Adam brought it in, but I sinned also. There's no one who hasn't sinned. The only one who never sinned was Jesus. We'll get to him in a minute. But the fact is that death comes into mankind because of Adam's sin. And we see that because all have sinned, all suffer the punishment. And here Paul is putting this sin on all men through Adam's sin. And even though he says the law wasn't given at the time, Paul's not being foolish. He says, because somebody would say, well, the law didn't come yet. Law didn't come till Moses got here. And Paul says, yeah, the law came when Moses was here. But even before that, sin was in the world. And if you don't see that, go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, when God is talking to our friend Cain, and what does he say to him? He gives him a warning. In verse 7, he says to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Sin was there. The act of sin was already there from the garden on. The fact that the law wasn't there didn't change the reality that sin existed. In fact, when Noah comes, what does the Bible tell us about the people of the earth? They wanted to sin all the time. It says that they were constantly sinning. That's all they wanted to do. So even without the law, sin was in the earth. And because sin was there, death came with it. And so you say, well, that doesn't quite seem fair, does it? And the reality is, because God is perfect and God is just, he will not allow sin to go without punishment. And in fact, when we look at it, it's very wise that God imposes death upon all men through Adam, because by putting death upon all men by one man, he also brings salvation upon all men by one man. And so God's wisdom is displayed for us. Let's go on from there. In verse 15, it says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Paul's now going to show us this idea of much more. It's used almost a dozen times in this section and throughout these next verses. And we're going to see Paul's talking about something that is much more. And I want us to grasp this. Since all men are sinful and all men are punished for their sin, we die. And Paul says that the free gift of grace is not like the trespass of Adam. If many die because of one man's sin, that of Adam, in Christ we are not only raised from death, but we are raised to life. If the free gift were like the sin, but just the opposite, then it would be like a counterweight. You would sin and you would have the free gift and now you're equal. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says that the free gift is greater. It doesn't just equalize it. He says through God's grace, it overwhelms sin. It overwhelms it. It floods it. It is so much greater because not only do you get rid of death through the grace of God, but God gives you eternal life in Him. Something so much more magnificent. Something so much greater. And He gives it to you freely as a gift. Not as something you earned, but as something He gives because of His love for you. Paul says that what God did through Jesus overwhelms sin and death. We're given salvation. The blessings we talked about last week, peace, access to God, joy, reconciliation, all these blessings come to us by God's grace because of His great love for us. Salvation through Christ is not simply a counterweight. It is an overwhelming sea that washes away all that we had created in our sin. We're not just raised from death, we're raised to life, life eternal, eternally with God, forever in His presence, and He calls you His friend. Is that not awesome? To say, hey, guess who I know? You know, we all like to drop names, you know? Hey, I know so-and-so. Hey, I know so-and-so. You know, so-and-so just called me the other day. How's this? I'm a friend of the Creator. What a great thing. I get to say, I am a friend of the Creator. Even further, I'm an heir to His kingdom. I'm one of His own. I'm a son of God. That doesn't come to me because of anything I did. It's a gift from God. It's His grace. We're not just raised from death. We're raised to life. We're brought to justification. It is just as if I never sinned. Justification. Just as if I never sinned. Because of that, because of what Jesus did, I'm put back to where Adam was in the garden. Sinless, pure. And the greatest part, my favorite verse in chapter 3, is it says, and God came walking in the garden in the cool of the evening to see Adam and Eve. Is that not an awesome thing to think about? At some point, perhaps we'll be in heaven and God will come to walk with us in the cool of the evening. Just to say, hey, how are you doing? How was your day? What did you do today? What went on? Is that not awesome that God loves you so much he wants to have that kind of relationship with you all the time? And he did what he knew had to be done for you to receive and enjoy that gift. We are sinless in God's eyes, just as Adam was before the fall in the garden. We're not just clean, washed clean of our sin, but we're given a new body, and we spend eternity with God in heaven. Now, because of Adam's sin, death reigned in the world. But because of Jesus' free gift, we reign in life. We are no longer subject to death. We reign in life through him. We receive the abundance of grace, the overwhelmingness of grace. God's grace is sufficient for all of our sin. Remember what Evan just read this morning? What did Paul say? God told him, my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient because it overwhelms everything else. It's not just enough, it's over everything. There is not enough sin in my life that God's grace will not overwhelm it. I don't care what you have done. It doesn't matter what your sin is. There is not enough sin in our lives that God's grace will not overwhelm it. That God's grace will not completely annihilate it and overwhelm you with his love. That's so important. You go, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Paul was a murderer. And what did God say to him? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace has overwhelmed all of your sin. It doesn't matter what we say we have done. Think about it. God's provision for salvation is greater than anything you have done in opposition to him. And Paul then says in verses 18 and 19, he says that the sin separates us from God, but the grace, and it puts us in a position of condemnation, that we're condemned to death, but Jesus' action in obedience to God sets us free and gives us life. I want to point out that Adam's consequence affects all mankind without choice. That condemnation that came because of Adam's sin affects everyone, and you don't have a choice in that. It's there. Death comes by that. But Jesus' salvation is available to all mankind. Everyone who lives on the earth has access to salvation. But they have to make that choice. Right? You must choose to receive the gift. The gift is free. The gift is available. It's not going to be forced upon you, though. You must decide to receive the gift. But the gift is available to anyone for the taking. Justification is a gift to us without cost on our part. That's what makes it a gift. If you have to do anything to receive it, if you have to do anything to earn it, it is no longer a gift. But salvation is a gift from God. And it is with a very high price, but he paid it. If you make a gift, okay, now I have to put my accounting hat on. If you make a gift, did you know that the person you make a gift to does not pay any tax on that gift? You know who pays the tax? The one who makes the gift. If you make a large gift to somebody, you pay the tax on the gift that you give them. The person who gets the gift pays absolutely nothing for it. That's why it's called a gift. God made a gift to you, and he paid an enormous price. A price you could never pay. And he paid it so that you could have the gift for free. The greatest gift that you will ever have came from God free. Justification is that gift. To enjoy the gift and its blessings, one must receive the gift for themselves. They must decide that they will accept the gift. And nothing that you can do will ever receive it for you, except that you accept it. It isn't like something you ordered on Amazon and they delivered it the next day, right? It's a gift from God that is so wonderful, so amazing, that you cannot imagine what it is. And I'll tell you this, the more you have sinned in your life, the greater that gift's value is to you. That doesn't mean you should go out and sin a lot, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the more that you have sinned, the greater that gift is. The greater the value to you is. Let's look at the last two verses here. It says, now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul tells us that the law didn't introduce sin. He's already pointed that out. Sin was already in the world. And the law didn't come to remove sin. The law cannot do that. So what is the purpose of the law? If it can't remove sin and it can't wash away the stains of sin, then what does it do? The law points to us the sin that exists. Because Paul says, without the law, there is no sin in the law. That doesn't mean there isn't sin. We've already talked about that. It says there's no sin in the law because the law didn't exist. But as soon as the law was written and given to the Israelites, sin in the law now exists. All you can do is disobey the law or obey the law. But it doesn't bring sin. It only points it out to us. Paul says it amplifies sin. Before there was sin, I didn't know what covetousness was. Now the law comes along and says, thou shalt not covet. Now all of a sudden, I got a problem with covetousness. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Great, now I got a problem with other gods. I didn't have a problem before. Now I got a problem. All it does is make that problem more pronounced. And it pointed out that the law brings sin into focus. And so Paul goes on to say that here is the great part. The more sin abounded, the more grace abounded. This is not an excuse to sin. It is a pointing that Paul makes. The more sin exists, the greater grace overwhelms it. There is nothing that we can do that God's grace won't overcome. And that's the great thing. You can't sit in your corner of your room and wallow and say, I've done so many bad things, God will never. That word doesn't exist. If you're going to sit there and say, I've done so many things, then the follow-up is, God will overcome. God will always forgive. God will always overwhelm your sin by his grace. And he says, that's why he tells us that my grace is sufficient, because it overwhelms everything. Sin is washed away. You are made a new creature. You are washed in the blood of Christ. You are given the white robe that you get to put on, clean and pure, with a new heart of flesh instead of your heart of stone. All the things that God has promised come to you through Christ in his salvation. Grace overwhelms them all. So in sin, we were condemned, and sin reigned, and death with it. But we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We are not only free from death, but we are washed clean, we are made new, and we spend eternity with God in heaven, all because of his grace and what Jesus did on the cross for us. Do you see how much more God's grace is than all other things? And I want you to remember, grace is not an add-on to God's plan. He didn't look at Adam and go, oh, now what am I going to do? I'll have to go back and figure something out. No, God's grace was there before creation. God's grace has always been there, and it always has been overwhelming everything. And God has always acted in grace. He has always dealt with us in grace. God dealt with Adam in grace. God dealt with the ancients in grace. God dealt with Israel in grace. And God deals with you in grace. His grace overwhelms your sin. It washes you clean. And his love pours out upon you. There's an old hymn that says, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. We can't help having been born under Adam and his sin. We can't help that we have sinned. But we can choose to leave that life behind. And by God's grace and our faith in Jesus, the Messiah, have eternal life and peace and righteousness with God. We can live forever in heaven through the saving work of our Messiah, Jesus. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you because your word is so mighty and so powerful. And we read what you have written through Paul's hand, and we're just astounded at how much you love us. When I look back at my own life and then I say, look, but God forgave me of all my sin. God washed me clean. God gave me a new life in him. I'm amazed at how great you are. And God, I thank you that you have done that, not just for me, but for everyone who receives your gift. And we praise you and we thank you for that. And I ask that you will put in our hearts a desire to go out this week and to share that great news with somebody. Let the Holy Spirit lead us to that one who needs to hear about your grace, who needs to hear that their salvation is secure if they come to you, who needs to hear that they can be washed clean and made right with you justified, just as if they've never sinned. God, we thank you and we praise you and we ask that you will go with us and lead us this week. And we ask it all in the name of our Savior Jesus, so that all glory and honor goes to him. Amen.